This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Hope everybody had a terrific Memorial Day weekend. Those of you that were able to have a long weekend, we'll get to some of our weekend plans that we had. A few things stood out, specifically Saturday. See if you guys now feel differently about something, or at least I think something for you, Cody, that if you can pull off in the future, I think you got to do. I think you just have to do it at some point in the next time, and it's an opportunity for you. I think I'll leave it at that.
I'm now. Open.
Yeah.
I'm always open. You have to show me. I'm very tired today, by the way.
Really?
I had to go. Kid got sick in the middle of the night. And then he was like doubled over in pain. So then eventually for like an hour. And so eventually we had to go to the old ER, you know, make sure he's fine, by the way.
You went to the ER like in the middle of the night, just this past morning?
And he was this morning. So like I was there at like 2 this morning.
Oh, gosh.
And he was putting on, like, by the time it all settled in, he was putting on the show too. So like, because he's interested in math and science, as we've discussed on this show, you should have seen him work in the X-ray techs. Like, hey, we got to get an X-ray. Somebody said, I love X-rays. That's what he told him. They're like, have you ever had one? He's like,
Loves x-rays.
That's what he said. I mean, I don't know that he's ever uttered that sentence before. He said, I love x-rays. He's like, well, you ever had one? He said, no. He's like, I really wish I could see inside, but I know you're looking at me, so you can't. And so after, they got him to do like a whole slideshow for him. They showed him all the x-rays of the inside of
his
body.
So he's fine?
After.
I mean,
he's fine at the moment.
All right.
Everything is, he's not
just
like
a little scare in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So now it's just like, all right, maybe get coffee at 2 o'clock, had some this morning. We'll survive. Other than that, the weekend was okay. I'm excited to hear about your guys' weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Let us know what you guys were up to as well on the text line, 913-586-7965. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Video stream also going to be up and running on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's start with the Royals and multiple moves that I think a lot of people were asking for weeks and weeks. They all occurred in like a 4 or 5 day period. I, of course, am talking about Nick Lofton. Got the call up when we left you guys on Friday's show. Nick Lofton was called up. Of course, Hunter Renfroe was DFA'd. Then yesterday, John Rave got the call up. And that was a name that for weeks and weeks had been discussed. Hey, he's doing well in AAA. If you need just some incremental improvement offensively, could he be a guy that helps you? He made his MLB debut yesterday for the Royals in what was just an ugly day, I think, to be out at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals didn't play that well. It was raining throughout the entire game. It was just one of those ugly games. Michael Lorenzen didn't have his best stuff. It was really rough. They were hitting him around early on in the game. And after the holiday weekend, here they are 55 games in, and the Royals are an historically bad pace offensively. We all know where the offensive numbers have been, but no team has scored fewer than 6.8 runs per game since 1972. And right now they're on like a 6.59 runs per game average across the first 54-55 games.
When you hear that, you're like, how do they have a winning record?
Well, we know the answer to that, but yeah.
I know, but like your initial instinct would be like, not should this just be a team that's struggling. This should just straight up be a bad team. With an offense performing at that level, it should just be a bad baseball team. The most encouraging thing, if you're just trying to wake up in the morning and put a smile on your face, is they're not. They're a winning baseball team because the offseason plan of pitching is still going gangbusters. Doesn't matter the fact that Michael Lorenzen got beat up yesterday. People will have bad starts. Noah Cameron was even better somehow. Now he's getting the strikeouts. Immediately, because I was like, well, until the strikeouts kick up, it's hard to believe it. Immediately has like a 7 or 8 strikeout game. Okay, so now that looks okay. But at this point, it's no longer I can just keep telling you, oh, it'll all be fine. They're still scoring no runs. And now one of the guys I told you they needed to get back and hitting, Vinny, is hitting 350 this month. And it's not solving the offensive problems because it happened to coincide with a 10-day stretch of some quieter Bobby. And Salvi's still not hitting and not getting anything out of the bottom part of the order again, where some of those guys are slightly productive, but not the run-producing guys. And so it's hard not to be not just frustrated, incredibly frustrated to the lineup that is, if there's a year where you're going to make a trade early to do something about offense, I'm not sure why this isn't the one.
This would be it, but
that's why it's rave. That's why it's locked, and they're trying anything.
Yeah, at this point, we've talked about the offseason issue clearly, right? A miscalculation. They didn't get done what they needed to at the corner outfield spots like that. At this point now, it's about what can they do to fix that. I think we all recognize opening day Melendez and Renfro did not pan out. No kidding. Neither one is with the big league club. One is not going to be with the organization here very soon. And talking about Hunter Renfro, obviously, with him being designated for assignment. But now you're like, okay, well, how do you fix that? What can be done? And I think they're doing minor moves right now that can actually be accomplished. We'll see if they can help them at all. John Rave, he's played one game, so we're not going to know for a bit, okay? You know what I mean? It's one game.
And good for him. Congratulations on making your major
absolutely.
League debut.
Absolutely. And Nick Lofton obviously actually did help them win a baseball game over the weekend and was really impressive in his first game of 2025. But for them, we know that the outside organizational help is likely still a month or more away. That's just the reality of the situation. Can they stay afloat till then? Can they have improved offense till that point in time? You know, where I think in terms of being overly critical of that for the offense, that's going to be if we get a month plus from now when it's obvious that trade opportunities exist and if they don't take a decent swing towards acquiring a bat. If they don't do that, then everybody, I think, at that point in time has a right to be very, very upset. Right now, if your argument is, well, they got to get better on offense, I think we unfortunately have to wait a month if you're saying they got to go get somebody. If it's just, hey, you're frustrated that Salvi's not hitting, I'm right there with you. He has not been good this season. You mentioned, Cody, you went through a couple names. Michael Massey obviously has been very disappointing so far here in 2025. It's an obvious observation from everybody. But it's either going to be that they go in a month plus from now and acquire a bat, that Cags eventually gets called up, maybe sooner rather than later, the way things are trending. We'll see. We'll talk about him in just a bit. Otherwise, this offense is not going to improve. Like that, it's very clear that they have to get outside help.
Yes.
Very clear. It's just you can't do it on May 27th. Nobody's trading anybody.
So can you, then the question becomes, can you stay afloat long enough with your pitching in order to, you know, survive, I guess, long enough in order to make it work? And so like that part of it is, yeah, it just creates an issue. Like it creates an issue of how long can you do this? And more importantly, it starts to create this kind of, I wonder, and I always wonder this with any team. I think we pretend like it's not the case. Can you keep the team on the same side? Because what you have to avoid at this point is a division. And I'm not saying they're there yet. I don't think they're there yet. I don't think that that's occurred. I think the team is still unified. Otherwise, they would be a non-winning team, in my opinion, if they weren't unified against this. But at some point, like, if you're on the pitching staff, coach, you're like, hey, want to chip in? You know? As of right now, they're in a playoff spot. A third of the way through the season, they're on pace for 86, 87 wins, whatever it is. They're no different than they were last year from a record standpoint by the end of the season. But it is important, I think we'll talk about this more later in the week, to point out that last year the Royals team front ran, and they were 10, 15 games above 500 pretty consistently the entire year, and then stabilized to be the 500 baseball team, not the way they're doing it now. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, look, the offense at this point, I don't have any way to sugarcoat it. It is, by all accounts, the worst offense in baseball. They possess a limited amount of power. They have not hit well with runners in scoring position. They do not have enough guys getting on base. And several of their major contributors have had either slow starts to the season or just have never got their season started. And because of that, it is, you know, a little bit of a challenge, obviously, to consistently see it go that way.
Yeah, I think there's only two internal moves left they can make that might help the offense.
One is a guy that's obvious, and yeah, we can talk about that in a
couple of minutes. I think there's only two internal moves they can make to help the offense. The rest is still hoping that some of these guys that have a career history of hitting well, Salvador Perez, or... yeah, you'd make the trade, which I think we're still a month away. And obviously the two internal options, yeah, one is Jack Caglione. We're going to get to him in a bit. And the other would be maybe Cam Devaney at some point in time if Michael Massey doesn't get going here very, very quickly.
And they're just doing those like is one at a time. Okay, Cavan, you're not hitting. Welcome, Rave, a couple of weeks before. You know, like they're doing them as a slow trickle because no team in the history of baseball has ever just taken three guys hitting well in AAA, plugged them into the major league lineup and said, you're our big leaguers now, not those other guys. Yeah. And so you tend to do these things as a slow trickle and you give more time for more players to come around and start contributing. But as you pointed out, that just the runs per game right now, it's so low right now. It's just kind of going to be a problem 6. At some point.
6.6 runs per game.
You can't ignore. I know coming up in 20 minutes, we will talk individually as a standalone topic all on his own, Jack Caglione. Despite one caller's protest in Josh Vernier's postgame show this weekend, that this show talks too much Jack Caglione.
I got a text from our old friend who used to work at this station, Henry Lake. You guys know Henry. I got a text. Let me pull it up here. I got a text from him on Saturday. And he, I guess, was listening to his guy, Vern. And obviously, the Royals were playing the Twins. And so, you know, he was getting ready for his coverage of the Minnesota Timberwolves conference finals game. He sends me a text. He said, man, LMAO, listening to Vern, they are ticked off. He said something else.
Sure.
Dude says, everybody needs to keep that Jack Kidd's name out of the mouth. Those guys from 10 to 2, that's all they talk about. This was before he hit two home runs in one day and had five. So it is funny. Like, I think if anything,
he's on MLB Network right now.
He is.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Look, I just looked up at the TV and he was on it. I had nothing to do with that.
I think we've actually been very measured with how we've discussed Caglione. And you and I, the opening day, there were people in this building on this station that wanted him on the big league roster. And you and I were like, hey. So while we're excited, while we did our trip to Springfield, while I'm going to Omaha this weekend to watch him along with Dusty, like that's all true. You and I think have actually been pretty reasoned with our level.
Yeah.
But if you don't expect people to talk about the number one prospect in the Royals organization, the hottest prospect in all of baseball right now that just hit five home runs in his first week in AAA, then I don't know you want us to ignore it. So anyway, we are going to talk Cags in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. Excited to talk about what he did this weekend. It was obviously a pretty good start in AAA for him. But I want to get back to a conversation that we had last week, and I only feel honestly emboldened by my stance last week after what Greg Sankey had to say yesterday. Greg Sankey has clearly become, I think, the target. He's the SEC commissioner. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to clarify this stat. I think I said it wrong. So in games they played, Not the Royals aren't scoring six runs per game. Yeah. in games that they play in, it's six runs. That makes sense.
As in, like, the total runs scored for both teams.
Six point five nine
runs. Yes. That includes the Royals doing a really good job.
Thank you.
Holding teams as well.
Yeah.
Greg Sankey, who's the SEC commissioner, and clearly is in charge of that conference, not all of college football. I think he could pretty clearly feel like he's the target. And so what he spent his time doing this weekend was taking pop shots at the ACC and the Big 12 for complaining that they want the world in these future college football playoff negotiations. To the point that I would say borderline threatening to say, hey, everyone keeps asking me what the hell we even need the NCAA for at all. As in, we'll just go it alone. This goes back to the same thing. I think they're way overplaying their hand gold. And what I don't think the SEC understands is that you cannot exist in college football as a standalone conference of just 20 teams for multiple reasons. One, you cannot run anything like the NCAA tournament that will get the attention of the NCAA tournament. So you've just punted on basketball. Bye. You just given up on that. And I know that's not the big cash cow, so maybe you're fine with it. Two, I think you eliminate a huge chunk of fans who watch SEC football because it's some of the best football in the land. When you take their teams away from it, no longer do Iowa State fans care what Alabama is doing, and now you've eliminated that portion of the progress. Not to even mention some of the stuff I was reading about this weekend that creates the entire thing. Right now, you're not in the crosshairs of the federal government. That's all coming for how they're paying players. The second you become a standalone thing, antitrust stuff comes into the mix, and now you got to combat that too. And the government, truthfully, is not going to want to watch the NCAA, a large institution, get dismantled because the SEC kind of got pompous this weekend and said we can go it alone. They got to think about the health of the sport. I know his job is to make the SEC the best.
Yeah.
But part of that is like the health of college football.
I think part of his job should be, though, Cody, to look out for what's best for the sport. Because when you're the when you have the power, which Greg Sankey is probably him and Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner. They are in charge of the sport, basically, based on how the current thing is situated. It's part of his job, I think, or his obligation to college football to make sure what's best for the sport is actually lectured on by him. But we know that in the revenue and all that other stuff, it is all about what's good for me and my conference and my teams and forget everybody else. That's why Greg Sankey's comments shouldn't surprise you, but it doesn't mean that they're incorrect.
Yeah, look, he's not going to be around by the time the potential, what you're discussing, Cody, the potential like true separation of the Big Ten and the SEC, like from an actual separation. We already know there is a separation. It already exists. You're talking about like a true different championship tournament.
We're a different
playoff
conference. Yeah. We don't even exist in the NCAA. We're doing our own thing.
Yeah. Like the thought of the Big Ten and the SEC having their own national championship playoff and then the rest. And some would argue we already are kind of starting to see that. But I think the weird thing about the comments from Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, is he is doing all these things that are continuing to leverage the SEC and the Big Ten, which I do think is part of his job. But he also doesn't want any of the bad headlines. Well, that's how this works, buddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want the blowback and any of the criticism for doing things that are clearly hurting the Big 12, the ACC, the Group of Five, obviously.
He doesn't want to be criticized. He wants them to just take it and shut up.
Right.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't
work
that way.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to just get robbed and then be like, thanks for robbing me.
Yeah, that's just not how this whole thing works. It's just, unfortunately, with every potential adjustment to the college football playoff, every adjustment is meant to benefit the SEC and the Big Ten. And that's never, like, guys, that's never changing. There's never going to be some adjustment that says, oh, you know what? That's really good for the Big 12. That's like, you can say, well, college football playoff is good for them. No, because when they go to 14 here in 2026 and eventually 16,
it's going to be 14 or 16. They don't know yet.
Whatever it's going to be, it's not like they're going to now have five Big 12 teams. And no, there's going to be six SEC teams that get in, or seven SEC teams that get in / Big 10.
The thing that I think is the worst part about this is he went on, you know, his whole diatribe. He said that in the current format, it's, quote, clear that not losing is more important than playing quality opponents, which I think it's
back to he doesn't think wins should matter.
Well, and again, I think he's telling on himself and his conference at this point, because it's hard to say boo-hoo when you stole the best teams from other conferences and then you want to complain when somebody outside of your conference does well. The reason, like Alabama, let's be honest, if they didn't have all the teams that they had in there and hadn't expanded all that other stuff, maybe Alabama doesn't go 9-3. And maybe you actually have a case of them being in the playoff because the conference isn't as quote unquote difficult. I understand the quality of opponents being important, but you also complaining about teams, you complaining that not losing is more important than quality opponents isn't what we saw last season, because that, if Alabama doesn't go 9-3, if Alabama just wins another game, if they don't lose to Oklahoma, who sucked last year, then they're in the college football playoff. If Ole Miss doesn't lose to Kentucky, who stunk last year, then Ole Miss is in the playoff and other teams are not. I just don't get how you can complain and say boo-hoo when you're the reason why this is all happening in the first place.
Tearing down this whole system for a 9-3 Alabama team. What the hell?
You're
going to burn this whole thing down for one mediocre Alabama squad?
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with both of you. I just think this weekend, it's more that he doesn't like that he's being painted as like the bad guy.
Well, that's the bad guy.
For everybody else that's not in the SEC and the Big Ten, that's what you are.
And like, when you run the show, you're going to get the blame when something goes wrong.
And deep down, I still think both things can be true. We can say he's the bad guy in this, if you will, but he is doing his job. Like, has he propped up and made more money for SEC schools? Has he enhanced the league and all that? He's done all that. It sucks that it's hurt, I think, the college sports fan. And certainly if you're a fan of the Big 12 or ACC and in these other non-conferences compared to the SEC and the Big 10. But he is doing his job. It's just, it sucks.
I think this is a perfect example of why you shouldn't have ADs and commissioners making decisions that are best for the sport, because we already know that they have that bias. Like Greg Sankey being the most powerful man in college football is a problem because
Be in charge? Like somebody's got to make should it be though?
Well, no one's going to just separate why, and put someone that, in the that's NCAA why every, in charge.
That's why everybody's calling for a commissioner to be an overarching body that is in charge of everything. You shouldn't have ADs making decisions. You shouldn't have boosters making decisions. But I also think, like Gold, you're right in the fact that Greg Sankey does what's best for the SEC and making the money. I think though, it blinds teams from actually doing what's best for them. Like I was talking to Cody about this in the bullpen. Missouri makes more money.
Yes.
Vanderbilt makes more money. Auburn makes more money. Arkansas makes more money. But they are not in a, but if the AD for that school, for any of those schools, says, you know, we really care about winning trophies and the championships that we have, I call BS. You care about making more money. That's why you let Texas and Oklahoma come in with no problem, and teams that are better than you
get invited
where you're never going to win. And you saying we care more about trophies is a load of BS, because you don't. You care more about money than you do actually winning. Otherwise, Missouri would still be in the Big 12.
Right. Because
they'd have a better chance of winning in the Big 12.
Right, but now that the dust has settled and it's well over 10 years since Missouri has left, they made the right call, because part of winning championships, you also have to be able to compete at, you know what I mean?
Like you have to be able to be in the playoff.
Yeah, you have to be in the right spot to have a shot.
Yeah, Missouri's in the SEC and still isn't making the playoff.
Fine. I mean, you said it, not me. Like I'm with you. Like there's part of me that obviously recognizes that. I would say though, given the constant worry, if you're in a Big 12 school still, if you're KU or K-State, about what the future of your program looks like and athletic department looks like, because you don't know if your conference exists and are you going to be at the dinner? Are you still going to have a seat at the table and all that? No, Missouri, while you can say they're not competing for championships, they are still in a much better position now because they left. They just are.
Currently, so like, are they actually right now?
Yeah, wait.
Yes. They're in the best conference in America.
They weren't competing for national titles before, but now they make a lot of money and are not.
I went to KU, and so there's a lot of people, like, and trust me, like,
they're in a way better spot.
I still think if
none of those spot than
Kansas,
if none of those schools would have left to begin with, none of this would have happened. But now that we all know that you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, Missouri is absolutely in a better spot now. They're not worrying about, are they going to be in a conference still in 7 years that matters? That is a huge, that's first and foremost, that is the number one priority, I think, if you're an athletic director at the time, is are we in a stable conference that we can compete facility-wise, financially, and all this? And in order to do that, you have to be, especially in the new NIL era, you have to be in one of these big boy conferences.
But are they this is where I think we differ just a little bit. In the future, I agree with you. Like looking, like long-term, Missouri is in a much better spot, obviously. But currently, as we sit, like for this upcoming football season, Kansas State has the best chance. Last year, last year was the same. This year is the same. Next year is probably the same. Kansas State has a better chance to make the playoff than Kansas or Missouri does.
For this one year, I don't disagree.
But last year was the same thing as well.
No, last year going in Missouri had a great shot at getting. They had one of the easiest schedules in.
None of them made it, for what it's worth, so it didn't really matter.
But Missouri isn't relying. Kansas State can win its conference and be in. Missouri is not winning in
but
the
we don't
SEC.
Know in five. We don't know in for the long haul. Can they do that? You're pointing out like one this particular season. I am with you that Kansas State has a better chance to make the college football playoff than Missouri.
Even we're last year, I thought the same thing because Missouri had the easier schedule, but Missouri still banked on.
The reason why they don't long term though, Drew, is like the Big 12 potentially doesn't exist in 5 years. I hope that's not the case, but like there's a chance it doesn't exist. I know the SEC with Missouri in it exists. They're at least gonna have a seat at the table no matter what happens.
This kind of goes back to the NCAA tournament part of complaints, which I don't understand. Is like, so every time the fourth or fifth school out of the SEC doesn't make the college football playoff, you're gonna cry and have a fit and ask for a participation trophy. Our team got left down. And they probably looked at Ohio State winning it all and then got even more mad. That's the problem, is because you didn't have to be. You could have been the third best team record-wise in the Big Ten or the SEC and go through a run through the championship and still win it. And so Alabama, DeBoer was talking this morning and said, I'd like to see what the other teams who got and did with our schedule. Like, just win more games. I don't understand why college football is the only sport that is against winning games, meaning more than anything else. Just simply winning games. Again, like, that's it. Winning more games.
And that goes back to the SEC telling on itself where you're mad about going 9-3, but you're the ones who are making it more difficult on your teams to make it.
They wouldn't be as hard because they got a better team, they're just going to put more teams in.
It wouldn't be as hard for Alabama if they didn't have to play Texas and Georgia and all these other teams. You know, it'd be a lot easier if you just didn't have the best schools from the Big 12 come over into your conference and then say, here you go, good luck to everybody, and go from there.
All right, coming up next, I think Drew's going to be very happy with when he checks Twitter in a second. I think he'll be very thrilled. But we'll also talk about Jack Caglione and where he stands after 1 week in
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
We'll get to Jack Caglione in just a second, but I do want to pass along some news that is now breaking out of Jefferson City. Governor Mike Keogh has officially announced that a special session will take place beginning next Monday in Jefferson City. This will, of course, deal with, from a sports angle, the Chiefs Royals Stadium bill. There's also other very important things they're going to discuss, but for our sake, the headline there is Chiefs Royals Stadium bill is going to be brought to the legislative body again for a special session taking place June 2nd, I think, till the 13th. So Monday is the 2nd. I believe it'll go to the 13th. But that was expected. He had indicated that a week or so ago. But once again, it's all shaping up for, by the middle of June, we're going to have a really good idea, I think, on what the potential path is going to look like for one, if not both, of the teams. We all know the Star Bonds in Kansas expire at the end of June, and then now Missouri is going to have one more chance to get the stadium bill done. We'll see if it happens starting next week.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
As you know, we've been paying very close attention to what Jack Caglione has been doing in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And boy, did he have a weekend. He has now spent five games in AAA, 346 average, 357 on base, 1280 OPS, five homers, 10 RBI. He leads all of the minor leagues with 53 RBI overall, including a double Jack Day.
This week, and now looking for a fourth. Caglione has done it again. The kid's going to be just fine. Number one pick for the Royals in their draft this past year. Number one prospect. High hopes, and for good reason. He has put on a show here in Daybreak this week. Caglione flies this to right on the laser. Going back is Cavadas, and it's gone. He's homered for a fifth time this week.
Okay, so pretty good weekend.
That's not
Jack
the storm chase. That's not. Nicholas.
No, I don't know.
The voice, by the way, is
Oh, Jack.
It
sounds old timey baseball.
Yeah,
like exactly. He's hitting two wood sticks together.
It totally sounds like
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Those two mini bats, so he could do it for
his voice. It had a little
wire. Ah, I'm a baseball old timer.
Yeah,
and he's knocked it out of the park.
That's exactly what it sounded like. Anyway, he could not have had a better week, obviously, in AAA. It was incredible to see. It almost got to be laughable by the time he hit that home run on I guess would have been Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, just laughable because he is destroying the AAA level one weekend. We know the reason why he got called from AA. J.J. Piccolo told us, simply AA wasn't good enough for him. Now, it's one week. All right. And in fact, I think last week when he got called up, I gave a very specific hypothetical.
You said even if he hits
five or six homers in a week, he's not getting called up. Well, so, he did that very thing. I'll admit this, though. If he does that again this week, which is a tall task, but with him, anything's possible.
You never know.
If he hits another four or five home runs this week when they're in Omaha and it's at a ballpark that could allow him to do that, by the way, then next Monday, I will be right there with all of you saying, call him up. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you, how dare you? I'm going to be ticked off if they call him up. I'm just saying, if all they needed to see was one week in AAA against the same team all week, by the way, also all out in Salt Lake City.
at elevation.
Then they would have not even sent him to AAA. He'd already be in the big leagues. Like, it wasn't like, man, we know we need him really to see if he can handle 1 week in AAA against Salt Lake. No, it's a much longer process. But I'll admit, he is forcing their hand. If he does this again for another week, then I think the timeline of July gets moved up way earlier, as in it could happen in June.
I have been reasoned, fair, patient, excited, right? No doubt about that. Definitely excited. All of those things, in my opinion, as it relates to Jack Caglione. I'm out. I've seen enough. He can come to the big leagues now. No more patience for me. I'm done. I'm not mad, right? We're the inverse. I'm not upset. I'm not like, hey, what the hell? Call his ass up. What are we all wasting our time for? I'm not like all the way, but like, yeah, go ahead and call him up. I've seen enough. It took me a second because you're right. I think generally speaking, your stance is 100% the normal way these teams think and operate and all this other stuff. What he did the last 30 games at AA immediately snapped into AAA. And I want to point out that a couple of the guys he's faced, a couple of the guys he's homered off of are at one time big league pitchers, yeah. As in they pitched in the big leagues, including a guy who had not given up a hit to a left-hander at all this year, and career-wise has like a 160 batting average against lefties, and he took that guy out of the park. And so I've just seen enough. I'm good. They can call him up tomorrow. I'm fine. It does not help, admittedly, that the Royals scored the third least amount of runs in baseball and hit the least home runs in baseball. Not helping me wanting to jump him up. Do I actually think they'll do it? I guess importantly, no. I do not think what I'm saying right now means that JJ's on the phone tonight being like, you know what? Call up our boy Jackie. We're good here. I just think he's going to wait it. I think he'll wait a little bit longer.
He's on the fastest track, considering when he got drafted, realistically, that you could be on. And what he's doing, though, is I think forcing that it could be even sooner. Like,
yeah.
There's a chance now that he gets called up before a year to the day that he was drafted. Like, before the season started, it was, all right, July, August, if things go really well. And it still is that, but now he has upped it to where if he keeps this up, it's going to be before July. You know, that's the difference, depending on what he does this week or so. I'm just saying it's not that, like, deep down, like, you and I, like, it's not like I'm not sitting here saying I need to see him do it more.
I wear my cag shirt.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, he had five home runs this weekend.
It is not that I'm sitting here saying, like, I personally need to see more. But I also understand the thought process that just because something happens over 5 days, you just don't completely scrap the entire plan. Yeah. And when you called him up to AAA, you didn't call him up because you play one team for the full week. You didn't say, because we want to see him handle that Salt Lake, whatever the hell they're called.
Bees,
sure. Is that what they're called? Bees. That sounds right. It flows, I guess. I think you're right.
I might just be making
that up. They didn't need to see that for a week. That wasn't why. I think what he has a chance to do with his performance is bump that from being a month and a half or 2 month stint to less than 30-day stint. That's what he has a chance to do. I also think, while you're right, the fans' pressure is coming because the offense stinks right now on the big league level. But JJ Piccolo, he did say, essentially, though, the fact that the offense stinking might make it even a little more challenging, because then you're asking this guy to come up and jumpstart a struggling offense versus you'd like to call him up when an offense is already rolling.
The hardest part about this for us is we're trying to do what's best for the player. I mean, that's ultimately what this is. You want the player to be as prepared as he can when he comes to the major leagues. It's not fair to any player, whether it's Jack Caglione or whoever, when a team may be scuffling offensively, to try to put it on him and hope he's going to come save the day. The best way to break any player into the major leagues is to try to bring him up when the team's hot, you know, offensively scoring some runs. That's not why he's not coming up right now. We just want him to face more advanced pitching in AAA, see how they game plan for him, how he adapts and makes adjustments, you know, not just game to game, but at bat to a bat. It'll take, you know, I don't want to put a timetable on it, but we want to see it for a little bit. I mean, this first week was great. But we certainly weren't saying when he went to AAA, have a good first week and bring him to Kansas City.
Yes, both things there I think are notable.
But you could also
a little bit. So
you can hear the voice changing a little bit on the, like, we wanted to see him for like a little bit, and a little bit not being a week, but it could be 2 weeks, could be 3 weeks.
I think if he
could be mid-June,
does anywhere remotely close to what he just did, And what, and if he does that for another week or two, then I think he's going to be up instead of having to wait till the All-Star break or something like that. That's what he's doing.
If I'm out of town, I got to go to Texas in mid-June.
You might be out on his debut week, Cody.
Very disappointed if I miss Jack Caglione's debut in this town, damn it.
You're out
for dance comp?
Like June 16th or whatever.
That'd be tough, man. That's a tough timeline. That's a tough week to miss, man, where Jack and they start a home series during that time. You know people, they love making major league debuts around home.
Well, sorry, Ruby. Dance trip is canceled. Got to go see Cags. Sorry, honey.
We're all going to go watch Jack Caglione play baseball. No, I just like, I'm not even doing this for, I love sometimes like for the effect of radio, right? Like I'm just saying, no, I genuinely believe it's good. He's good. I'm no longer, my whole thing was, I also like the organization. Wanted to see how he handled AA. He didn't have enough games that were impressive in A and Arizona Fall League that I didn't need to see more. I thought the minor leagues was the right adjustment for him. I wanted to see how he's handled it. It's a joke. He's treating it like child's play. It's like when my kid throws me the wiffle ball in the backyard and I rip it over the fence. And so like, I've just personally seen enough. I've seen him off major league hitters. I've seen him go the other way. I've seen him be patient. His strikeout numbers are good. Everything suggests that he's going to be a good major league player at this point.
I'm sure he's going to be. Once again, if he would have gone 0-16 last week in Salt Lake City, would everybody have said, oh, he needs to stay down an extra couple months? No. So I'm just trying not to overreact to what we're all pumped for, crying out loud. I'm driving up to Omaha this weekend to see him as well. Yeah. Trust me, this is not me saying I don't think he's going to be good or anything. That's not at all. I'm just saying we change everything based off of six games. I just don't think that's not how the organization operates.
Looking at it bigger, but yeah, I understand what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like if this week,
call them up instead of Rave, if they were just going to call them up.
Sure. Yeah, that too. But the same thing applies to last week or this upcoming week. If he goes 0-16 with 7 strikeouts, I'm not telling you, well, he shouldn't be called up anymore at all. No. Like the overreaction to 1 week or not, but he is forcing the issue where if he does this for another 10 to 15 games, yeah, they're going to have to call him up. Cause what the hell are you waiting for?
For the players who didn't skip the step, because we famously know Alex Gordon skipped that step. Eric Hosmer is really the best example. Eric Hosmer was a top 10 player in baseball. He was the number one hitting prospect in the entire Royals organization. He was their number one prospect. He was a potential future superstar coming through the Royals system. And he did it through high school, but he did the same thing he did. And he came into a year where he was starting a fresh level. He got 26 games in AAA. Now, he started at AAA, 26 games, and then he was done. So they did the 30 games in AA for him. Now, he played 137 games between A and AA ball. So you'd have thought in a full year, he played a full year.
Yeah, I think what happened to Cody, though, is the Rangers just called up a kid that only played a week in AAA. And so I think a lot of people are looking at that and saying, see, it can happen.
Yeah.
That same kid, and I don't remember his name. That's why I keep saying it. But he's one of the top prospects for the Rangers, and they need some offense, too. But he also played well over 100 games in the minors before that. That's the difference.
It's a limited sample size.
That's the difference. I think the other part, we can talk about this more later in the
Alejandro
show.
Alejandro Osuna.
There you go. That's the player. Yes. And I believe you can look at the number. I think he played well over 100 games in the minors. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. Yes, he played a week in AAA and got called up, but he also had way more games that the organization looked at. Plus, each organization is going to operate differently. We can get into the rookie of the year stuff. I think the service time coming up in a couple weeks is interesting, and then also rookie of the year stuff, because if you're looking at trying to get the draft pick for him winning rookie of the year, well, he needs to, for that reason too, you need to call him up in the next week, because if you wait too long, he won't be eligible for rookie of the year next year anymore, and he'll be too late in the process to win it this year. And I understand, I'm not saying they should solely operate off of getting a draft pick. I'm just saying, if you want to consider, hey, we can call him up and we can be eligible maybe to get a pick because he can win rookie of the year, you better do that in the next week or two, because Jacob Wilson, the rookie for the A's, is already a minus 200 favorite. It already has played 350 in 70 something games, or 60 something games, I guess it is at this point in time. So you're in a big hole to try to come back and win that anyway. And if you wait another 3 weeks, then you probably have no chance of getting that draft pick as well. There's a couple different things and timelines coming up, I would say, between now and like June 12th, June 13th.
If you actually want to win that bet, sure. If the Royals want to get the draft pick.
I'm not even talking about I'm not even saying for like to me to place
the
bet. I'm talking about the Royals
the
getting a draft
of
pick.
Games? Now I can't remember.
If you play over, I think it's if you play over 60, you're not eligible.
Oh, well, then they have to wait way too long to call him up, so it's not worth it. Alejandro Asuno, by the way, I did look it up. He is the perfect example. Same age. He's a high school kid, but same age at the time. He played 57 games in AA last year when he got promoted from A-ball.
Mm-hmm.
He played 102 games in the minor leagues last
year. Over 150.
But 57 in AA last year. He started in AA this year, played 31 games, went up to AAA for 8 games, and then just called him up.
They also had a designated hitter broke his right hand for the Rangers, so an injury forced the hand. It's the same thing what we've talked about. If there would have been a key injury to one of the names we taught, that would have also potentially changed the outlook.
It would now, too. If for some reason there was an injury, Jack Caglione will be the name that they call.
Yep.
But they're not trying to do that. And I understand JJ's argument, but like it's threading such a perfect needle. And part of me thinks that teams overthink that. And this is probably just a personal philosophy versus what the team studied over all this. Like, do we honestly, if Jack Caglione is destined to be a really, really good, great, you know, all-star baseball player, is the fact that he would come up when the team's not hitting versus they are hitting, is that the difference? Is that what's going to stop him from realizing his full potential?
In fairness to JJ, he said that's not why he's not up. He's just saying that's all. You're trying to find the ideal. And the ideal spot may never exist, but they're trying to find the ideal time to call him up. I'm just saying there's a ton of factors, not only his own performance, but I don't know. This would be a question for JJ Piccolo the next time we have him on. How much does the rookie of the year aspect, and you're like, what? The reason why it's different now is because you can potentially get a draft pick. So
because the service time conversation is already dead.
Once
you got past 2 weeks.
But isn't there? Is it like Super 2 June 12th? Mm-hmm. So there's another layer to that. It's not the effort. There's a couple different deadlines.
The Super 2 wins.
How much is that playing a role in this as well? On top of that, is would you like his debut to be at home? All these things. I'm not saying one is a huge chunk, but how many of them make up the piece of the pie to get that decision made on top of his own performance? So
especially when you're talking about a prospect of that nature. I'm sure they'd love to call him up for the first game of a 3-game home series on a Friday night. And then the place will be full of 35,000 people excited to watch Jack Caglione play. And I certainly can't blame them for that. Tonight, the NBA, we got game five, right? Between the Knicks and the Pacers.
It's 2-1. Yep.
Game four against Knicks Pacers tonight. Drew's team's got to sweat a little bit after letting one get away. Come on. They got the first two in New York. They had to be feeling pretty good.
They were up, though, double digits in the third.
They should feel good, but the way that they kind of exploded.
Who knew that Carl Anthony Towns was going to go nuclear in the fourth quarter? My goodness.
He's had a pretty good series.
Yeah,
honestly.
He scored 20 points, didn't he, in the fourth quarter?
20 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And the Pacers didn't do much to stop
it. I'll be honest. Didn't see that coming, but here we are.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, this is not even a random question. There are two rule changes I saw pitched this weekend for the NBA that I want both of, but what I'm curious is which one you like more. Because what fascinated me about this is where I think the sports sometimes forget about the entertainment part of it. The first one, Gold, is what happened last night. Foul up three. What people were saying is I should still be allowed to decline that foul. Pass. Don't want to take it. I want to have my choice to either get the two or take a three or do whatever, because this trading off of free throws for the last 9 seconds of a game is an incredibly sucky way to watch the end of a sport. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. It's not for anyone's purpose. It is the right strategy, and I definitely think you should foul up three, seeing how it is within the rules, but it does not make for an entertaining product. And the other one was from former host here, not 96.5 The Fan, but you get it, the building, Nick Wright, who said the other thing he wants to implement is this, Gold, which I know you hate when they start going for the review and the whirlybird, new rule starting next year that if you do that, it's binding. And if you don't have enough fouls, if you don't have enough challenges, it's a tech. And it's just like if you try to call a timeout and you don't have them. So of those two rules, are you interested in both? Neither? One more than the other?
I love the idea that, hey, if you don't have the challenge and if you're doing the little twirling of the finger thing, give them a technical or a foul. Just
it's
be
binding.
Done with it.
Your team has to challenge it.
It's not even in the NBA that it bugs me as much, but I've told you for a couple of years now, in college basketball, specifically in the NCAA tournament when we're all really watching, it drives me crazy. Every single out of bounds, some college kid is twirling his finger. Challenge. Bail me out, please.
There's no challenges in college.
That's all it is. Oh, it's so ridiculous. So, no, I'm on board with this in the NBA. College doesn't have a challenge system, so I don't know what
they can do it.
But they do it all the time. Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy. And I feel like now, like any high school kid that comes up to college and plays basketball, They just see the NBA players doing that. Now everybody is doing it. It's basically like, please bail me out. Somebody up there that's looking on these monitors.
Let's take a look at it when it's just one rec league dude making $40 for your U-12
game. A lot of times they're wrong, hoping reviews this?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm seriously, you go to some 14-year-old AAU game, I'm sure there's kids twirling their fingers as if there's a TV monitor there for them too.
No, I think both. I honestly think we should stop fouling up three. Why do you want something that makes your product terrible? It's not exciting. It is the worst way to watch the end of that game. That game was super exciting, Drew. Back and forth. Yeah. Oh, man. What so awesome fun. Is this series going to get even? Are the Thunder essentially going to win this series, even though they're going up 3-1? Awesome game. And then the last 2 minutes of watching that basketball game is just watching people go down there and shoot with nobody guarding them. That's a terrible product.
It's not even like the up three thing as much of just it being, look, you're down by four and it's 30 seconds left in a game.
But specifically
the
end of the game. You know, like if you want to leave it in the other parts because it's a strategy way of catching up, it's a sucky way to watch. I don't disagree. But the final possession of the game as the clock ticks away should not be someone trying to bank one off the rim or just the guy putting the final shot on before it's 0.2 seconds before he heaves it down the court. It's just an unexciting
You're saying in particular the foul up three thing,
yeah,
really,
the foul
more
three.
Than
Let him
anything
take the shot. Let him take the shot. Let him try to hit the shot.
I think it is a little bit cowardly a way to go out. You know, you don't trust your defense well enough to defend a three.
Oh, I would definitely foul up three. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm just, I want to eliminate the rule.
Sir, I mean, it's a coaching preference because, for instance, I know like in
Kelvin Sampson doesn't foul up three for the most part. That's been his standard. I trust you to defend. Yep.
And not foul.
Yeah, that's definitely more of a coaching philosophy, but I'm all about the idea that we gotta stop with this twirling the finger and hoping that you get bailed out all the time.
Within
the last 5 years, yeah.
Ever since the challenges got introduced, probably three years, honestly.
Probably around that time. I did see, by the way, you were at the Bananas game this week. Was
it fun? I wasn't planning on going. All of a sudden, one of my good friends, they had an extra ticket and said, hey, they're taking their kid. Why don't you see if you want to take one of your nephews? So I took one of my nephews. I was not planning on going, and it was awesome, man. It really was. You have kids.
They put on a show, man.
Your kids would love it, man. If next time they're around, if you're able to get tickets, or anybody listening, if you've got kids, it was nonstop action. Like, there was never a dull moment. And so, like, the game starts at 7, but you want to get there in like an hour before them because they're already doing stuff before the game takes place.
Starts.
So you want to get there.
Because the game can only be, it's got a time limit, right?
It's a time limit. You know, it's 2 hours. There's, you know, the banana ball element to it is fun for kids because it also has, you know, if a foul ball gets hit in the stands and a fan catches it, it counts it out. You know, just fun stuff. It's great for kids. They got dancing, singing, great music throughout the entire game. The umpire's dancing as he's getting ready to call balls and strikes. He's dancing to the music. I mean, it's just nonstop entertainment. They also did some really cool stuff in terms of honoring some people in the local community mixed in throughout the game.
That's cool.
The night I went, Jeremy Guthrie pitched. The night before, it was Haas and Gordo and Moose. But Guthrie pitched and was dancing on the mound too and stuff. Like, it was just you can see why they have become what they've become, the Savannah Bananas. And it was a sellout. It was awesome. It also ended up being a nice night weather-wise as well.
Got lucky. You might have gotten the only nice night of the weekend.
So anybody else that was there, I'm sure you can attest to it and you can text in. But if you have kids and you're able to get tickets, I know it was very difficult to get tickets with the lottery system and then the pricing got way out of control, I understand, from the secondary market. But it was awesome, you know. And so I think, Cody, if you can, I'm sure your kids would love it, man.
No, I would. I mean, I'm not interested. It's become a pricey ticket.
Yeah, or you got to get in the lottery.
Or you got to get in the lottery and get your tickets that way. Because for sure, it's like, I mean, it's a hot ticket to go. And for, I think, the reason you said, I saw a bunch of people out there this weekend. It seemed like, I mean, not just because they were sold out, but because it just seems like everyone was like, well, you know what? Kauffman Stadium, they've had a huge comeuppance. Like, they were doing... They were just at the Legends a year ago or two years ago.
And now they're selling out Kauffman. They're selling out Raymond James Stadium, the Bucks football stadium. They're on this world tour. It's crazy what they've built it, and you can see why. And they keep adding new things every single time as well and building.
Yeah, you got to keep adding the entertainment. You can't just like roll out the stilts guy every year. You can, but you got to add other elements, change other things.
Yeah,
I've seen an interview with him just talking about He's like, he used to be on, he used to like play around with him when he was like a high schooler. And he's like, well, I could probably swing on stilts. They're like, are you sure? He's like, I'm going to try.
Yeah. What's and this year, like they have a different, you know, their opponent, just like the Harlem Globetrotters, like their opponent was the firefighters. So they were able to tie in, you know, honoring local firefighters. And then like they scored their first run and they all run and grab their ladder and they run out to left field and put a ladder up in the stands and climb the ladder into the stands. Like just goofy, fun stuff. And what, you know, I, if you have kids especially, you should go, but I think anybody would enjoy it as well.
Anybody catch a foul ball while you're there?
Oh, yeah, there were, I think there were three or four in that game on Saturday night. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you definitely, those, you actually really do want to bring a glove if you're somebody, you know, you can get it out.
The job,
it has to be clean. So you can't like juggle the ball. It has to be a clean catch for it to count as an out.
Oh, can't juggle it, huh?
Yeah.
That's tough. Gotta be clean.
Gotta be a clean catch.
Okay. Then you do need the, what are the odds I'm going to make a clean catch with my bare hands? A
couple people did it, man. A couple people did it. All right. Up next, though, there is a familiar face coming back to Kauffman Stadium and pitching tonight against the Royals. And Aaron Rodgers kind of, sort of hinted about what he's going to do. We'll explain next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.